And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 162, Loki's Flighting. On one occasion, some while after Baldur's death, when they could think about him quietly and talk about him calmly for all their foreboding, many of the gods went over to the island of Hlesi for a feast. Ygir received them in his gleaming hall under the waves, and since Thor and Tyr had secured Hymir's mighty cauldron for him, he had no choice but to keep his promise, brew a welter of ale, and entertain his guests. Thor himself was away on another foray into Jotunheim, but Odin and Frigg led the way. Thor's wife, Sif, and Bragi and his wife, Idun, accompanied them. So did Tyr, who had left one hand in the mouth of the wolf Fenrir, and to him the gods renewed their thanks for the part he had played in wresting the cauldron 5 miles deep from his father, Hymir. Njord and his wife, Skadi, made the journey. So did Frey and Freya, with Frey's 2 servants, Bigvir and Bela. Odin's son, Vidar, went with them, and Loki was there. This was not all. Many other gods and a throng of elves gathered in the hall that was lit with great nuggets of shining gold. The guests sat down at the benches, and Aegir's 2 serving men, Fimafeng the swift handler, and Ildir the man of fire, moved amongst them. The cups filled themselves with ale, and the hall was filled with the peaceful hum of good talk. When Loki heard one god after another praise the diligence of Aegir's 2 servants, he began to bridle. The pleasure and goodwill in that place became too much for him. He seethed like boiling water. Then suddenly Loki leapt up. He lunged at Fimafir with his knife and killed him. There was an uproar among the benches. The gods stood up, shook their shields, and howled at Loki. They drove him out of the hall, and he escaped into the darkness of the forest on the island of Hlesi. Aegir and his wife, Ran, the gods and the elves resumed their places. They began to drink once more. It was not long before Loki returned from the darkness to the feasting hall. He ambushed Aegir's 2nd servant outside the door.
"Don't move, Elder," he said. "Not 1 step further until you've told me this. What's all the hubbub? When they're not slopping their ale and slurping, what are the great gods talking about?"
"The great gods are comparing their weapons," said Eldir, "and their prowess in battle. You won't find a single god in there, not even an elf with a good word to say for you."
Loki's mouth twisted into a hideous smile. "Never mind," he said. "I'm going back in. I don't mean to miss this feast. I'll fill their hearts with hatred and grief and mix venom with their ale."
"They'll rub your face in your own filth," said Eldir.
"Have a care, Eldir, before you start to trade insults with me. Whatever you dredge up, I'll repay you twice over."
Loki scornfully elbowed Eldir out of the way, and they stepped into the hall. When the feasters saw who had come in, they all stopped drinking and stopped talking. Loki faced the barrier of silence. He sidled to the middle of the great hall.
"Here's the Sky Traveler, and he's rather thirsty," he announced dryly. "It's a long journey to Aegir's hall. Would one of the gods care to bring me a cup of shining ale?"
Loki stood motionless, his head swiveling as he surveyed the gathering ranged all around him.
"Why are you all so silent, you dismal gang of gods? Haven't you 1 word between you? Either make room and give me a place at this feast, or else tell me I'm unwelcome."
Bragi was never at a loss for words. He called out,
"The gods will no longer make room and give you a place amongst them. You're not the kind of company they want at a feast."
Loki ignored Bragi altogether and addressed himself to the High One.
"Remember Odin?
how long ago we mixed our blood in brotherhood? You swore then that you would only drink if a drink were brought to us both.
Move up then, Vidar, said Odin, turning to his son. Make room for the wolf's father at this feast. We don't want any more of Loki's troublemaking here at Aegir's Hall.
Vidar got up, poured out a cup of ale and handed it to Loki. Then Loki looked around him, and anyone who was close enough to him could see his spiteful expression.
Greetings, gods! Goddesses, greetings, called Loki.
I greet all this holy gathering, all but one. Bragi slumped on the bench over there.
Bragi shook his head.
If only you'll keep your rancor to yourself and spare yourself the fury of the gods, I'll give you a horse out of my own hoard. I'll give you a sword, and what's more, I'll give you a ring.
Bragi the braggart, said Loki. You've never had a horse or a ring to your name, and you never will have. Of all the gods and elves in this hall, you're the greatest coward. When arrows are loosed, you barely dare peep from behind your shield.
If I were outside, said Bragi evenly, and not sitting here in Aegir's Hall, I'd twist your head off your miserable body. That would be a fair price for your lies.
If only your actions matched up to your big mouth, Loki retorted. Look at Bragi sitting on the bench, as sweet and soft as any bride. If you feel so angry, why don't you get up and fight?
Heroes don't waste words mapping things out. Then Eden turned to face her husband.
Bragi, I beg you. Think of us and your children and all the gods. Leave Loki alone. Don't exchange any more insults here in Aegir's Hall.
Enough, Eden! Shouted Loki. I know no woman as wanton as you. What an appetite. You even wound your white arms about your brother's murderer.
Despite Loki's withering abuse, Eden did not lose her composure.
I will not exchange insults with Loki here in Aegir's Hall. All this ale has made Bragi talkative, and I've told him to keep his temper.
Then the goddess Gifjon added,
Why do these two gods bandy jibes and sneers? Everyone knows how Loki revels in foul mockery and hates the gods in Asgard.
Enough, Gifjon! Shouted Loki. I know a thing or two about you. I even know who seduced you. That boy offered you a sparkling necklace, and you straddled him.
Loki, you're mad to incense Gefion, Odin called out. You've lost your senses. She can see all that has come as clearly as I can.
Enough, Odin, shouted Loki. You never could be even-handed. You've often let the weaker man snatch victory in battle.
I may have let the weaker man snatch victory in battle, Odin replied. You lived under the earth for 8 winters in the shape of a woman, a milkmaid. Yes, and you've borne babies and been milked by them, a woman through and through.
They say that on Sunzi you once worked charms and spells like a witch, replied Loki. They say you moved amongst men in the shape of a witch, a woman through and through.
Now Odin's wife, Frigg, tried to restore peace.
You would both do better to keep these things to yourselves, she said. There's nothing to be gained from raking up what's best forgotten.
Enough, Frigg, shouted Loki. You're Fjörgyn's daughter, and were born a whore. You may be Odin's wife, but you've shared your bed with his brothers Vili and Ve into the bargain.
If I had a son, said Frigg, a son such as Baldur sitting beside me in Aegir's Hall, you'd not get away without a fight.
Ah, Frigg, said Loki scathingly.
I can see you'd like to know more about my skills. It was I who fixed things so that you'd never again welcome Baldur home.
Freya rounded on Loki, her eyes blazing.
Loki, you're mad to boast about your terrible crime! There's nothing Frigg does not know, even though she may remain silent.
Enough, Freya! Shouted Loki.
I know you through and through, and you're not wholly spotless. You've slept with every single god and elf gathered in this hall.
Your mouth is full of lies, said Freya, and you're spelling out your own doom. You'll leave here wishing you'd never bothered to come.
Enough, Freya! Shouted Loki.
You're a foul witch with a string of evil works to your name. The bright gods caught you in bed with your own brother. And then, Freya, you farted.
Njord raised his voice in defense of the goddesses and against Loki.
A woman lies with her husband or lover or both. Does it really matter much in the end? It's far worse to clap eyes on this womanish god who has born babies.
Enough, Njord, shouted Loki. You were sent from the east and given to the gods as a hostage. Hymir's daughter squatted over you and pissed straight into your mouth.
The journey was long, said Njord, but it was a great honor to be given to the gods as a hostage. And I fathered a son who was well-loved and highest of those on high.
That's too much, Njord, said Loki. I'll cap your absurd boast and share your secret.
You spawn your fair son on your own sister. So at least you knew what to expect.
Then Tyr spoke up in support of Njord's son. Frey, he called out, is the noblest of all the brave gods. He doesn't trifle with virgins or seduce other men's wives, and he frees bound men from their fetters.
Enough, Tyr, shouted Loki.
You've never been much of a hand at bringing two parties to understanding, he smiled wickedly. Need I remind you how you lost your right one when Fenrir snapped it off?
I lost a hand, but you lost Hrodvitnir, the mighty wolf.
We were both hapless. And now in his fetters, Fenrir must chafe and wait until the world's end.
Enough, Tyr! Shouted Loki again. Your good wife was lucky enough to be the mother of my son. And were you paid one penny, you poor fool, by way of recompense?
The wolf, cried Frey, will lie in chains at the mouth of the river until the gods meet their doom. And unless you bite on your tongue, you lie, Smith, you'll soon be chained up too.
You're the one who bought Gaimir's daughter with gold, retorted Loki, and sold your sword into the bargain. You poor fool, when the sons of Muspel ride through Mirkwood, you'll have to await them empty-handed.
Frey's son Bigvir was enraged at the way Loki had insulted his master.
If I were as nobly born as Frey, he said, and sit in so high a seat, I'd grab this ghastly crow and beat his bones into pulp.
Who's that little creature? Asked Loki. Groveling and yapping and snapping. You're always whispering in Frey's ear or quibbling by the quern.
I am Barley Bigvir, said Frey's servant, and I'm quick to get my way as gods and men allow. To see all father's sons all gathered to drink ale fills me with delight.
Enough, Bigvir, shouted Loki.
You've never been able to give men their due portion of meat. And when heroes made ready to fight, no one could find you. You are hiding under the straw strewn on the floor.
You're drunk, Loki, called Heimdall. Your jabs and jibes are insane.
Loki, why not leave off now?
No one in his cups cares about curbing his tongue.
Enough, Heimdall, shouted Loki.
It was settled long ago that your life should be menial.
You can never sleep or even sit down. Day and night you stand awake, the watchman of the gods.
You're as quick as they come, Loki, said Skadi. But you won't be at large, twirling your tail much longer.
The gods will bind you to a boulder with gut ripped out of your ice-cold son.
Even if the gods bind me to a boulder with gut ripped out of my ice-cold son, I lead the way when we killed and captured your father, the giant Thiasi, jeered Loki.
If you led the way when gods captured and killed Thiasi, Skadi said, my hall and my temples will always echo with curses on your name.
Loki's mouth twisted and his eyes shone orange and green.
You spoke much more sweetly to Laufey's son when you invited him into your bed.
That's well worth a mention, since we're both giving our weaknesses an airing.
Thor's wife, Sif, stood up. She left her place at the bench and stepped towards Loki. Gently, she took the cup out of his clenched right fists and filled it again with ale.
"Greetings, Loki," she said in her sweet, clear voice. "Take this crystal cup brimming with fine ale. At least allow you to find me alone amongst us all, wholly guiltless."
Loki took the cup and drained it in one movement.
You'd certainly stand alone if you were as chaste with all men as you are with most. But I think I know one who has inveigled you out of your husband's arms and set you on fire. His name was Crafty Loki.
Fry's second servant, Bela, raised her voice in Aegir's hall.
The mountains are quaking. That can only mean one thing. Thor is on his way here from Bilskirnir. He'll silence the one in this hall who slanders and sneers at gods and men alike.
Enough, Bela! Shouted Loki. You are Bigvir's wife, and you're poisonous through and through. It's a scandal that you mix with the gods at all, caked in your own excrement.
Loki was so carried away by his flight of words that he did not see that Thor had walked into Aegir's hall. The god of thunder waited until Loki had had his say, and then stepped forward and crashed his fists onto the trestle table so that the crystal cups leapt into the air.
Hold your tongue, you scum, he roared, or my hammer Mjolnir will shut your mouth. I'll swipe your shoulder stone off your neck, and that will be the end of you.
Look, everyone, cried Loki unabashed.
Here's the son of Earth. What a blustering bully you are, Thor. But you'll be less fierce when you grapple with Fenrir and see him gulp down Odin, the father of victory. Hold your tongue, you scum, roared Thor. Or my hammer Mjolnir will shut your mouth. I'll pick you up and hurl you into the east, and no one will have to set eyes on you again.
If I were you, Thor, said Loki, I wouldn't say too much about your own journey east. You cowered in the thumb of a glove, you noble god. You quite forgot your name was Thor.
Hold your tongue, you scum, roared Thor, or my hammer Mjolnir will shut your mouth. I'll raise my right hand, and what smashed Hrungnir will smash your bones, too.
For all your threats with your hammer, said Loki, I fancy I have a long life before me. Do you remember the giant Skrymir's bag and bow? Unyielding those straps were. You were unable to get out the provisions and felt quite faint with hunger.
Hold your tongue, you scum, roared Thor, or my hammer Mjolnir will shut your mouth. What smashed Hrungnir will dispatch you to hell, right down to the doors of the dead.
The god of thunder gripped Mjolnir menacingly. Loki raised one hand and shook his head.
I've shown the gods and the sons of gods the sharp edges of my thought. But because of you and you alone, I think I'll take my leave now. I know all about your strength.
Loki paused and looked defiantly around him and then addressed himself to his host.
You've brewed fine ale, Aegir, but you'll never hold another such feast as this.
Loki's voice was rising.
Flickering flames will gorge on this hall and gut it and destroy everything you own. Your body will be flayed by fire.
Loki turned and was gone, and his terrible words still echoed round the halls. For a long time, the gods and goddesses and elves stared into their ale, shaken and grieving. In silence they sat, and in silence they rose and left Aegir's hall. So the reason why I chose this story from Norse lore is probably pretty obvious. We've been covering this Robert Rohde-penned Loki miniseries, which defines Loki certainly in the terms of Marvel's Asgardian universe. And we're comparing and contrasting it a little bit here, because now we've got an actual piece of Norse lore written over 1,000 years ago. And it's not too difficult to see that this character that Bob Rohde is writing about could pretty easily fit into this story. Which tells me something. It tells me that Bob Rohde knows the material. He certainly is familiar with Loki from mythology. He certainly maybe even has read this version of the story. Because I find the voices of the characters very, very similar, and some of the behavior very, very similar. Now, it could just be my imagination, but it does fit in with Baldur's lines that we have in the miniseries about, you know, many different versions of Loki, many different versions of Baldur. But here they seem to be uncommonly entwined. This is a defining moment in the Norse myths. This is a defining moment for Lore. This is probably the defining moment for Loki's character. This is the end of his descent from being a mischief god
a trickster god, into just being evil. The death of Baldur was the catalyst, and now he's stewing in this bitterness. And he's stewing in the mistrust and the hatred of all the other gods. Now, we have one more little story about Loki before Ragnarok, and we'll be covering that eventually, but this comes after the death of Baldur. This is a really weird period, and there's this really dismal feel in the story, and it's very, very sullen, and the, you know, and Loki kind of emerges as the ultimate party pooper. Because saying, you know, the good world that you knew is gone. Everything that was good and light in the world, Baldur is gone. And now I'm going to poison your relationships. I'm going to spin my evil here amongst you and really set the stage for Ragnarok. And I find that really, really fascinating. All right, so that's about it for this week, folks. Thanks once again very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Now, of course, you can email the show if you want to. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also join us on the Facebooks. Just look for Radio Free Asgard over there, and you will find us. Now, one thing I don't mention often enough, and if you're relatively new to the show, every single episode of the show is available over at radiofreeasgard.com. Now, iTunes will only keep like the last 15 episodes. So if you want to hear all the episodes, including the first 32 episodes, which you cannot find anywhere else, you should go to radiofreeasgard.com. I started putting these up on, you know, the Comics Podcast Network. Up on, you know, back, I think it was episode number 33 was the first one we put up there. But those early episodes, the only place you can find them is on the website. So if you're interested in going back and listening to the archives, that would be the place to go. So it's back over the Rainbow Bridge, prancing down the Rainbow Bridge, as it were. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.